John chapter 12. We talked recently about Jesus going to Bethany. There in Bethany were his best friends. We could argue and debate if Peter, James, and John were his best friends in the church. They were his inner circle. But outside of the ministry, the traveling ministry, he had a very close friend in Lazarus and Mary and Martha, his sisters. And Jesus traveled to Bethany. We talked about that, where he went to eat, and Martha was very busy and, you know, so burdened by having a big meal. And Mary was at Jesus' feet. We could see that again here in John chapter 12 in a different light. But the point we'll start with this morning in verse number 9, it says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, that Jesus was at Lazarus' home. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now we'll recall that Lazarus died, that his sister, that they sent word to Jesus saying, Lazarus, your friend, is sick. And Jesus kept doing what he was doing. He didn't drop everything and run over there. He just kept doing what he's doing. We're not that patient, are we? We tell somebody we need you, we expect them right now. But Jesus just kept doing what he was doing. And then they said, Lord, don't you think we ought to go see him? He said, well, he's going to die. Well, then shouldn't we go right now? And he said, be all right. And, you know, there are moments where they know Jesus, they know how he is, they know who he is, but that just didn't really reconcile with their knowledge of him. Like, shouldn't he be here? So finally, after a few days, Jesus starts on his way to Bethany, where his best friend has died. They send word to Jesus that says, never mind, you're too late, it doesn't matter anymore. Right? That's pretty sharp. Never mind. They come to him and say, if you'd have only been here, he wouldn't have died. But he died. 4 days he was in the grave. And Jesus walked up to that tomb. He said, roll the stone away. And he walked up to that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but I've heard preachers say if he hadn't called him by name and he had just gone to the tomb and said, come forth, all those dead bodies would have walked out of there. That would have been a mess, huh? But he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out there and he's in grave clothes. You know, they wrapped him up like mummies. And so Lazarus comes out like, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Guys, it's a great example. What did he do? He died and he rose again. What does that represent? Baptism. What does this represent? New life, a second chance. And so who did he tell to unwrap him, to loose him, to help him get out of his restrictions? He told the church to do it. He said, loose him and let him go. Guys, when people get saved, it's our job as the church, especially once they've been baptized and become members of the church, it's important for us to help them get free of the things that are holding them back. And that's called discipleship. And so we try to help people in that. Well, so the point is this. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, right? You all agree? Where was he? His body was in the tomb. Lazarus wasn't in the tomb. Lazarus had gone to that place in the middle of the earth, in the center of the earth, called Abraham's bosom, or as Jesus referred to it on the cross, paradise. So he was in that holding place. And there's another story we could look to of the rich man and Lazarus, different Lazarus. And it tells us that they can see from Abraham's bosom over to the holding place for those who are condemned, called hell. And I know that eternity, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, but we're told of this place called hell that it's hot and it's lonely and it's miserable. And And so the rich man says, you know, could I just get a drop of water? Could somebody go back and tell my family? And Abraham said, they have the word. They have the law and the prophets. If they won't hear them, they're not going to hear, though one rose from the dead. So now Lazarus has been to Abraham's bosom. Who did he see in that place called paradise? Right? Who did he see in that place? When Lazarus was in that holding place, don't you reckon he saw? Well, there's only two people I know he didn't see. Actually, I'll go three. Who did he not see in Abraham's bosom? Moses, Elijah, and Enoch. Y'all are great at this. This is wonderful, right? Because those three people God took to heaven. They didn't die and go in the grave. He took them to heaven. Moses was buried. Okay, back up. Moses did die and was buried, but then we know his body was taken to heaven, and that caused a little fight between Michael and Satan. But anyway, so Moses, Elijah, and Enoch at that time were the only patriarchs in the Old Testament that we know of that were not in Abraham's bosom. So who did he see? Did he see Elisha, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, David, Solomon? I mean, can you imagine going to that place? I would have loved for Lazarus to come back and tell me all about it. He had 4 days. Do you think they sleep there? No. He was there 4 days. That's a lot of time to meet with Adam and Eve and all those people throughout the Old Testament. And hear about their journeys, and he could come back and tell some stories. And people wanted to be around Lazarus and to hear those stories. Jesus is in Lazarus' home in Bethany. And people came to see Jesus, but they also came to see Lazarus. Let me tell you something. When people come to Capitol Heights Baptist Church, I hope their desire is to be with Jesus. But I hope their desire is also to be with you and with us. Why? Because as much as we love the Lord, we need the testimony and the fellowship and the preaching, the sharing of our brothers and sisters. Guys, you want to know what helps horses run faster? Put another horse next to them running fast. And they'll try to keep up. It's that fellowship. It's that friendship. And you know what will help us to be better is to look at our brothers and sisters who Jesus has touched their lives, freed them from the past, and to see them doing well. We need that. We want that. And if you die and come back from the grave, I want you to teach Sunday school. You say, well, I died and they shocked me. That doesn't count. You didn't get all the way there. But if you already went all the way over and came back, I want to hear your testimony. Isn't that incredible? Can you imagine Lazarus and the stories he had to tell and the enthusiasm, the excitement he told it with? Shouldn't that be the case with us? Hey, I met Jesus. I know Jesus. I talk to Jesus on a daily basis. In fact, several times a day, I talk to Jesus. Hey, and let me tell you this, with few exceptions of people I don't know or didn't know before I got here this morning, I talked to Jesus about you this week. I talked to Jesus about you and your friends and your burdens and your prayer requests. I talked to Jesus for you. I talked to God the Father. You see, when we talk about that, there ought to be enthusiasm, there ought to be excitement, there ought to be a level, there's something changed. You ever talk to somebody about something they don't care about? They just... Right? That's not speaking in tongues. Don't go back telling tales. And then you talk to somebody... Or you listen to somebody who talks about something they're excited about? Their eyes get big. Their facial expressions change. Maybe they talk with their hands, right? And their tone changes. Their volume changes. How do we talk about Jesus? How do we talk about our church? How do we talk about our brothers and sisters in God's house, our family, our church family? This is Thomas. He goes to church with me. Right? Or did I say, this is Thomas. He goes to church with me. We go to the same church. Right? That's different, isn't it? There's a difference in the tone. There's a difference in the volume. There's a difference in the feeling. There's a difference in the expression. There's a difference in what they hear. And when Lazarus came back from the grave, I bet he didn't say, well, you know, I went down there and I was down there 4 days, you know, and I said, I met Jacob and Joseph. No. I bet he said, I met Joseph and Jacob and Daniel and David and Solomon. Can you imagine? That's different. Lazarus was telling a story and people wanted to hear it. They came, look, this is mind-blowing to me. They came to see Jesus, but what made it sweeter is Lazarus was there. What? You see how odd that? People need us. They need Jesus more than they need us, but they need us. They need us faithful. They need us confident. They need us enthusiastic. They need us. People want to see what God has done in us. When you tell your testimony, well, you know, I got saved and baptized at that church over there. Is that how it is? No, man. I got saved. And I got baptized. And that's where I go to church. Man, those are my people. Right? Is that what we say? Those are my people. That's my family. That's how it should be. So, unfortunately, because he had such a great testimony, because so many people wanted to hear from Lazarus, it made him a target. Verse 10, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. By the way, it didn't work out so good last time he died. Right? I mean, yeah, but this time we're going to do it right. I mean, people just the way people think sometimes is just confusing. So in verse number 11, it says, by reason of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus because of his testimony. Guys, that's why are we here? We want people to know Jesus, to get saved, to go to heaven. I want people to be free of the sin and the burdens that are weighing them down and crushing their souls. I want them to trust God and to see what it's like to just trust God. Not worry, not fret, just trust God. But they got to see it in us if they're going to think about using it in their own lives. So he went to Bethany. Bethany is just over the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. And so then he goes to Jerusalem. And so, of course, he comes from Bethany and over the Mount of Olives and down the road to the temple at Jerusalem. And that's where we pick up in verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, right, for Passover, they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees, and that's why we call this Palm Sunday. They just took the branches and they laid them across the road. They went forth to meet him. They waved them. I mean, that's why we refer to this as Palm Sunday. And they cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They knew who he was, didn't they? We're at the end, nearing the end of his ministry. In these last few years, people have heard, maybe they've seen him from a distance, maybe they met him. You know, there was a little short guy named Zacchaeus, right? And he wanted to meet Jesus. But the crowd was so pressed around him. They were walking down the road, and there was a crowd. It was a heavy crowd. How many of you have ever been in a crowd like that walking? I mean, it was crowded. And Zacchaeus couldn't get through. So what did he do? He climbed a tree. Isn't it incredible that God planted that tree so Zacchaeus could climb it all those years later? God was thinking ahead, wasn't he? He has prepared the way for us. But there were so many people trying to meet Jesus. I recall one time Jesus was walking and people were bumping into him. Remember that? And then he said, whoa, stop. Somebody touched me. Peter said, duh. That's in the Pokey translation. He said, Lord, there's all kind of people touching you. He said, no, there's one that stands out. Virtue has gone out of me. Something has happened. There's been a transfer of power. And this woman came back just crying and humbled and embarrassed. And she said, it was me. I did it. She said, I've been sick all my life. I got a blood disease. I've been sick all my life. Been to every doctor. Spent every dollar I got. But when I touched the hem of your garment, I was made whole. I want to hear her testimony too, don't you? I want to meet her. As it matters. Our testimony can make a difference in people's lives. You say, well, I was consumed with drugs, or I was consumed with alcohol, or I was consumed with work, and I was consumed with money. I was so consumed with just adrenaline and having fun and entertainment. And then I met Jesus. And I stopped trying to fill that vacancy, that void, with all that other stuff, because Jesus filled that piece of the puzzle for me. People need to hear that. More than that, we need that, don't we? If you're here this morning and you haven't accepted Christ and you're trying to fulfill, even with church and religion or hobbies, and you're trying to meet some unmet need, but if you'll just pray right now and say, God, I'm a sinner and I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I ask you to forgive my sins. God, I give my life to you. It'll change your life. God will save you. He'll forgive you. He will embrace you, if you will. They touched him. They pressed around him. The crowd was thick. Now Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and they're waving the palm branches and laying it before him. He had gotten on a little colt, the Bible says, and was walking in, or was riding into Jerusalem. Verse 16. And by the way, that colt was a fulfilling of prophecy. The little things. How do you know it's him? Well, he met all the criteria. He fulfilled every prophecy. That's how. Verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at first. When it happened, they didn't get it. But when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. You see that? You see, sometimes we miss the significance of a moment. But when we look back, we can see God's hand. I think of Sister Marge's testimony. She says she was just driving by one day and saw the sign, saw the church, and just made a U-turn and came. Right? Nobody invited her except God. The Lord just drew her here. And I'm sure that's the case with others among us. Right? And that was it. I think of my aunt and uncle. He had been a deacon in a church down in South Florida. And as does happen sometimes, there was a scandal, and he quit going to church. They quit going to church. Never in all the time growing up did I know them to go to church until I was in my teenage years. But then one day, they lived on a lake, or access to the lake. What did they do on Sunday? They fished on Sunday. One Sunday, he came in from fishing and said, let's go to church. And she said, okay. They got dressed and went to church and never missed a service after that. Went on mission trips and building trips and all kind of, served God. Just changed, just like that. We need to be faithful. We need to commit our hearts to serve God and let Him change our lives. Sometimes we miss the significance of a moment. What happened? What changed? I hope when I get to heaven, God's going to show me the chart of my life and let me see the pivot points of the decisions I made and which direction they sent me. Was I closer to the Lord or farther away from God? Was I on course or off course? Y'all really want to know the answer to those questions? Some of you go, no, I don't want to know. But see, each decision we make has a consequence. The apostles, they walked with him. They saw incredible things. He walked on water, fed thousands with just a little bit of food. And their minds were blown and their hearts were overflowing and they just were completely sold out to him, except for one. And yet when these prophetic moments, these people knew the Bible. And yet when these prophecies were fulfilled, they didn't always see it. Look around the world today, what's happening in the world right now. And we keep saying, there's significant things happening. The Lord's coming back soon, right? China, Russia, all these countries and all that's going on. One world unity. Boy, hasn't COVID brought us all together? Yes, it really did. It put governments on the same page. And even local government officials have learned how much control they have. We as a free people have got to stand up for freedom. Or we're going to lose it. And a little caution, if any of those people are listening, at some point you're not going to be in power either. Be careful the rules you make for the little people, because one day you'll be one again. The moments are significant. Sometimes we don't always see it. But then when we look back, we can see God's fingerprints all over our lives. Can you look back this morning? You don't have to share it with me, but can't you look back and say, that was God. God did that. That was God moving in my life. That was God moving by the Spirit and moving me. I didn't hear a voice. I just knew it was the right thing to do. That's what happened with the apostles. Look, he said, once Jesus was glorified, once he was raised from the grave, then we're like, oh yeah, he's God. Wow, you mean when he rode on that little colt coming into Jerusalem? Yeah, that's in the Bible. I've seen that. He was born in Bethlehem. Oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. I've seen that. All of a sudden, they started putting it all together. It's incredible. And so, he fulfilled prophecy. They saw God's fingerprints. By the way, in verse 17, the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. Think about this. You're in Jerusalem. You're there for Passover. What's Passover about? Passover is about escaping Egypt. That's what it's about. Unleavened bread, the lamb, the apples and nuts mixed together, the horseradish, the parsley, the salt water, the whole Seder, the whole story of the escape that night. And so every year at Passover, they celebrate that. It's a big feast. And then here comes this guy on a colt across the Mount of Olives, and people are like celebrating him. And so you go, who's that? Well, that's Jesus of Nazareth. Who's that? Well, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He did what? Said, guy was dead 4 days in the grave, wrapped up in grave clothes, and Jesus walked up there and called his name, and he came out of that grave. Well, I want to meet him. If he can do that, I need to know him. Right? So what was it? It was a testimony of the people who knew he raised Lazarus from the grave. That's the reason there were more people believing. So it wasn't just Jesus and it wasn't just Lazarus. It was the people who heard it from the people who saw it. Our testimonies, it works, it spreads. Why are they celebrating this guy? Verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? What? They've been trying to get rid of Jesus. They've been trying to conquer Jesus. And they said, guys, it's not working. There's no way we could stop them. I hear things from time to time about the church is in decline. Guys, people are still getting saved. People are still finding Jesus. People are still finding the power of God in their lives. Don't tell me that the Christianity is fading. It's not. It's powerful. Now, I can tell you when it does fade, when we don't do our part. I hear pastors complaining. The church is dying, and the reason the church is dying is because the preacher's dead. The preaching's dead. The singing's dead. The prayer life's dead. Guys, we got to have power in our prayers and power in our preaching and power in our worship and our singing. We got to have it all. I love this last part. Behold, the world has gone after him. Isn't that quite a testimony? They're out here parading. They're celebrating him. They're cheering for him. I mean, we're here to celebrate something that's happened thousands of years ago, and they're celebrating this guy. The world has gone after him. What a movement. I'd like to see something like that happen here, wouldn't you? Where somebody would give their whole heart to God. Where we could see God change a whole home or a whole family. Where we could see God change a whole community. Guys, it doesn't start at that level. It starts at this level. It starts with me. It starts with you. Each of us and all of us giving our all. That's the only way we're going to make a difference. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, this is a great day to do that. Let's stand. From your heart to God's heart, you could say, God, I know I'm a sinner. By the way, if you don't know you're a sinner, let me tell you right now, you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Me, you, everybody around you, we're all sinners. And the wage of sin is death. We've earned our place in hell. We've earned our death. But God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, not after we changed, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you right now want to be born again, would you pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, forgive my sins. I trust in you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I surrender my life to you.